Oh, it's fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick Royce.
A lot of people focused on the Wolves this week.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
For good reason. They played very well Saturday and took a lead. And a lot of people focused on the draft, the Vikings draft, because this will determine the future of the franchise, which quarterback they come up with. But I can't, in good conscience, not talk about the big event coming up tonight at Target Field. The Mighty Whiteys, 3-18 versus the Fighting Twinks, 7-13. The Twins batting 195 as a team. The Whiteys batting 188 as a team. We broke away from them. It was they were actually ahead of the Twins when the weekend started, but the Whiteys didn't do too well in Philly. They were no hit to almost the seventh inning on Saturday, and then they were no hit. Every time somebody pitched for Phillies against them, they had a no-no going into the seventh against them. So they play tonight, four-game series. And you know what? The way the Twins are playing, I'll settle for a split.
Which is saying something.
Yes, it is saying something. The fact that we should have BSN should line up Ozzy to come to town and join Lauds on the postgame show.
Oh, God, glory.
And it would be glorious as Ozzy was making fun of both teams instead of our team. I feel sorry for poor Lauds, though, watching this and then having to try to spin it in a non-panic move. You know who's really bad when they're going bad, when something terrible happens? Morney. He just starts babbling.
Oh.
No, he does. I mean, he just starts, like Louis Varland's out there. He can't hit the backstop. He's walked two, three guys, and then Morney starts talking. I had a good talk with him. I love the guy, but
he's a fine guy.
Yeah. And then he starts talking, and he just keeps talking because he's trying to, you know, make the point, and meanwhile, Louis's throwing more balls all over the place.
And Provis isn't culpable, you know. Corey does not.
No, Corey will throw negative stats out there.
Yep.
Yes, he does.
So you don't get the old Bramer Morney absolution festival.
No, it's not. Corey's basically, he's got more know to say something critical, not very, but when it's going horrible,
right,
like it was for Varland yesterday, then he just starts talking. And I said, where are we going here? Let's just point out that the kid's going to go to, that his next start will be for the St. Paul Saints. Why don't we say that? You know, did they move him down?
Not yet, but I expect it to happen very soon.
Yeah, he will. I mean,
they can't do this to him.
No, and there's a chance that they could, they'll call up a reliever for 3 or 4 days, and then I would guess when they go on the road, Woods Richardson will make the next start, won't he? I mean, he pitched five mediocre innings for St. Paul Friday, so he threw good the first time, so they got to give him a chance. But they got to, now Louis should go back and pitch relief, and that's where he's equipped. But they don't have any starters, so they, their other ace starter that they had in mind, Brett Hedrick, is DL'd. And
it's the Dobber right now, right?
Yeah, the Dobber would be next. The Dobber was cruising, and then about, not last yesterday, but the start before that, he gave up like nine or something that. Yeah, he got kind of beat around a little bit. But the Dobber will make a start for the Twins this season, no doubt about it. More than one.
Can we write that down? Mackie and Judd, write that down, predictions.
Rodney Dobnik will make three starts minimum for the Twins. Write that down.
Okay, I'll send Phil and Declan a note right now so that we can put your predictions in there.
Write that down.
Because with the way things are going, I don't doubt you.
No, I would not doubt this. I was contemplating last night, what's wrong here? And I'm an old baseball guy, right? But I still believe, even in the days of very productive shortstops and in the days of shifts, there are four defensive positions in baseball: catcher, shortstop, second base, center field. Those are the defensive. If it's been that, it's been thus for 100 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you got a big slow guy, you put him in left field, right field, or first base. They don't do that as much anymore. But you look at this team. The shortstop is Willie Castro, and the second baseman is Eduard Julian. And they're both hacks. I mean, Willie Castro, it's not his fault.
Right.
He should be playing four games a year at shortstop and 20 at third and then around in the outfield. And he strikes out too much, but he did a fine job last year running all over.
Yes.
When Correa played almost every day. But so you're in the middle of the infield, you're terrible, basically, with these two guys. And catching-wise, they're average. I'd say Jeffers is one of their best players right now because he can hit, but he's trying to figure out how to hit. Vasquez is a can't hit, but you know they think he's a good catcher. I don't know. I don't see anything special about him as a catcher. And then you got Buxton in center, but then third base you got Farmer, Lotz. He was 3 for 38. Is that right?
It's awful. Yeah.
And then a guy at first. Santana is, this was, he got his first hit at Target Field.
Yeah.
He's hitting 120 or something like that. Yes. 130. So, boom. And then, you know, then you got Austin Martin, who should maybe be playing shortstop. I don't know if he can play shortstop.
He's been a long time. We looked it up yesterday.
Yeah, he hasn't played there.
But, I mean, he should be playing somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I like how he plays.
I like he is, but he's not a left field, not a big productive, going to do something for you left fielder.
Right.
But he's okay out there, although he did kind of hack up a ball yesterday.
Yes, he did.
But I like him because he gets the ball and play and he can go to second base in a heartbeat. So, you know, with what they got going now, he should be playing every day someplace. Kepler's coming back today, so that means, what's that mean? Larnick's DHing or something, or what? Well, I guess.
Well, you got Kirilloff, too.
Yeah, Kirilloff should be playing first base.
That's
enough of this nonsense.
I would DFA Santana. Who? Yeah. I mean, what's he going to do?
Yeah, I mean, you can.
He's 38.
Yeah.
It just didn't work.
2 years ago, he was terrible. Last year, he was so-so, and then he finished okay. But I can't figure it out. I can't figure out what they were doing. Why do that?
I liked it at the time, but you're right.
Take Donovan Solano. You know, he can't be not much of a first baseman, but so what? I can't remember him, like, hacking it up, right?
You know what this reminds me of? And the team I'm about to reference was better, but it reminds me of the dead-ass play we saw in 2006, if you remember, from Castro and Batista. At shortstop
and
third.
And the reason you got good is you got rid of both of
them.
That's my
point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just end some of these experiments.
Yes. Yeah, and you took plucky Nick Punto and put him at third, and you brought up Jason Bartlett, who had gotten sent down
in spring training. Correct.
For reasons known to nobody.
Okay, you know? I don't remember that, but I looked it up last night. He didn't come up. He didn't play in the big leagues until Castro was traded to Cincinnati.
I don't think Batista was not trying. I think that was him, but Castro was, like, completely checked out.
But the Batista-Santana comparison to me is very close.
Yes, yeah, it is. Except one of them has had a pretty great career.
Right.
Who's done. The other guy had some decent years. But what I liked best about Tony was he really showed his enthusiasm when he'd run 120 feet past first base when he was out. Where are you going, Tony? And then he, you know, what was he doing?
I don't remember.
It was a strange
move. But everything improved when he left.
But out there at third, he remembered the strange moves he'd make.
And yes.
I tried to talk to him a couple of times, and he was from a different planet, man. He was something else. But I don't know. There's there's got to be guys still laying around because they didn't sign anybody that would do you more good. And then I just kept thinking. The other thing I thought of was when Glenn Taylor told me that when he had to pay Carl Anthony Towns $126 million, he went to the bank and got he took out a loan. These guys still own a bank, right?
As far as I know.
Why didn't they take out a loan? I don't know. Something. I mean, Sonny Gray, a little more than you'd like to play, but what if you'd come to him with a week left in the season and said, we'll give you 3 years, $65 million? Could have gotten him, you know? He said he wanted to become a free agent, but
right.
But if you make him, if you're going to pay him over 20 for 3 years at his age, he'd probably take it. And I don't know what the deal is here. It's just how they you know the fans who are outraged now. 80% of the ones that you read on Star Tribune comments and stuff are they don't go to games anyway, and they're going to complain anytime.
Sure,
but. The fans that were true fans that were upset were right. They were right.
Yep.
That this was a travesty. That they were going to cut. They were going to cut payroll by 30 some million before they ever found out what they were going to get from TV.
Correct.
That's the deal. That's what. And what do we think? They got like 40 or something. Instead of 55.
Yeah, I have no idea. They won't say, but they're still getting something. Yeah,
but
I
mean, you're hearing that it wasn't the whole,
yeah.
There has been some speculation.
And they're not producing it themselves.
No.
So it's not like, you know, the worst case was that they were actually going to have to handle some of the production costs.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
Since the Toronto playoff series, you name one thing they've done right.
The Toronto.
So they win Toronto. They play the Astros. They lose. But I'm saying you look at the
TV thing,
that's
the
payroll thing.
And you look at your team and you say, why were we so much better this year than last year? Starting pitching. That's the complete difference. I mean, there's, you know, guys healthy or not, you know, Royce Lewis for 2 months was great. But starting pitching. You were 27th in the major leagues, I believe, in 2022 in innings from your starters, and you were fourth last year. And now you're going to be, you know, 25th again or something like that. Because, I mean, we're I think you mentioned this. We're throwing bouquets to Paddock for being completely pathetic, but he was willing to go out there and
be
pathetic for one more inning. Boy, you know, the Dobber'd do that. The Dobber'd come up and take a beating and say, yeah, give me the ball.
I'll take the fifth.
I'll take
Skip.
The fifth. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, I read that. I said, I mean, you got to do it. I guess it becomes a topic, but when you're covering a team, but it, to me, it says, I'd say, yeah. I would have felt better if he would have said, I don't know who you got, Rocco, but it's got to be better than this crap I'm throwing today. You know?
Well, and that
I
was...
think Rocco's down on not only the boys, but what he's been given.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. His patience is wearing thin.
And it's not because he thinks Willie Castro should be better at shortstop or it's not because... I think it's because of the roster he's been given that he's upset. You know,
yes.
I mean, now they did. They're missing their two best players. Okay, so they probably shouldn't be this horse crap. But
right,
you still. So if you got Royce and Correa, you might be hitting .210 instead of .195.
I agree with you. I think Rocco is not happy, and you shouldn't be.
No, no. But yeah, though they haven't. Where's the pitching? Where's the pitching coming out of the organization? Now, 80% of them are hurt. Canarino and Winder and the guys that they thought were on the way. But where are they? You look at St. Paul. There's a bunch of 29-year-old rejects who are, you know, their whole staff, their whole new bullpen was 30-year-old rejects, you know, 32, you know, boy, too bad Justin Tapa's hurt. He's 32 or some damn thing, you know. Where's the
starting pitching is my question.
Yeah, where's that? But where's all the pitching? You know, where the hell is it? I'm waving my arms. I'm asking so many questions here. It's
But I mean, what there's nothing they're doing well.
No.
That's the thing is there's nothing they're really doing well.
They don't catch the ball that well. I just was pointing that out. I mean, the other day the Friday loss. Was it Friday loss? Yeah, because Saturday.
They won Saturday.
Saturday they won. They hit three sacrifice flies. So I have problems with their 0 for whatever with runners in scoring position. Because I'll take a sacrifice fly, okay, and then in a tight ball game. But it's still horrible. But, yeah, it's on Friday there were – four balls hit in the infield that if you had Correa and Royce Lewis and you had somebody else playing second base,
Castro
would have gotten outs, yeah.
Castro is not a shortstop.
No, it's not, as I say, it's not his fault. But, they write him in every day. So what's he looking for? Offense? Because they don't.
I don't know.
He's not a hitter. He strikes out all the time.
I mean, the infield right now.
So it must be that Austin Martin can't play shortstop.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's been a while.
Do we have any updates?
Yeah, we do. The Athletic reporting it's a herniated disc.
Oh, good. So he's out for the season?
They're hoping he's not, but there's no guarantee he's not. Well, and they're hoping to rehab it, but that, of course, as you know, that can also mean if it doesn't rehab, then he needs surgery.
One of those, and Dr. Galen Roxwald fixed it, and I couldn't have played shortstop for quite a while after that. Same guy that fixed Brad Johnson. Fixed
really?
Me, so
all
right. Two great athletes got fixed by
the two of the great sports.
Yeah, Galen. And,
The Athletic saying it's a herniated disc, which is about as bad as you can news. Because
little sore back is.
Yeah,
I didn't hear that. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's in there today.
It's in there. Oh my God.
So yeah. So now you're without Lewis, Correa,
and your guy that was going to replace whichever one of those guys couldn't play. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Your first choice to place Royce Lewis would have been Brooks Lee. Right.
Yep. Well, and if Royce doesn't get hurt, there's a chance you call up Brooks Lee and put him in short.
Yeah, for Correa.
Yeah, correct.
Or there's also a chance that after about 2 weeks, you put Julian at first and put Brooks Lee at second.
Do you remember when we were talking about all the overcrowding problems?
What
are you going to do with all the talent?
What are we going to do with all the infielders? And now Willie Castro's an Iron Man, you know?
He's Alan Trammell for you, baby. It's Cal Ripken.
Yeah, it does remind me. We got the left-handed hitting second baseman, and we got the versatile shortstop. So it kind of reminds you of Trammell and Whitaker, doesn't it?
No question. You're right.
Anyway, maybe we should talk about the brighter things.
The Woofies on Tuesday?
I'm going to go Tuesday. Yeah, right. I think so. I'm not writing on deadline. I think I'm going to write something the next morning because I think Lavelle is writing the column for Tuesday for Wednesday. I'm going to the Twins tonight and write a
– okay.
We've shook up the days this week because of things that are going on. But I'm writing a Tuesday column. But I'm going to be there, and I got a Ricey guarantee. With 2 minutes to go, this is going to be a game you don't know who's going to win. It's going to be one of those. It's going to be one of those where we have a 4-minute review to see who tipped the ball out of bounds on that all important possession with 1:48 to go or something.
Do the officials let them play again?
That's the big problem. Now they've been letting them play pretty much all over the league. It's almost like it's an edict. But you know damn well, Phoenix has been on the phone whining.
Yes,
Phoenix has been calling the league office. They've been calling the
referees. Our guy Booker.
We got Kevin Durant, man. Now, they didn't bang Kevin Durant around much, but they were banging Booker around. And the other guy, I'm blanking.
Beal.
And I listened to the post-game Phoenix show on the TV. And Tom Chambers is on there. And another, I think it's an old coach. I'm not sure who it is. And then a young woman who's kind of hosting it. And Chambers, his whole thing is, when they put their hands on you, you got to drive so they'll call the foul. Mm-hmm. He was basically saying they got to, these guys are already fouling you halfway, but they're not calling it. You got to make the referees call it by driving to the basket. So you're going to see a far different Booker. The big thing to me, though, is the hidden factor in this game is 52-28 on the boards. Rudy,
oh God,
just
yeah,
killed him.
Yep.
What, did he have 9 rebounds in the first quarter or something?
Yeah, and he had
kept him in the
game.
And
he had, what, 6 offensive boards by himself?
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Rudy, they
that was
might
huge.
Not, I mean, Rudy is, let's face it, I don't
and their bench didn't do anything.
You know, last year we struggled to find an MVP for the Twins, and the voters settled on Sonny Gray. I had Durant, but who's the MVP here? I guess Edwards, but Rudy's damn close for this team. If you're MVP on the team, Rudy's been phenomenal. Well, he created a team that can play defense. I mean, God love Tibbs. Defense was supposed to be his deal. They were awful for Lakers' first 2 years.
Tibbs here. Never had this.
Never. Well, he never had Rudy. But
not even close. Yep.
But Chris Finch should be the coach of the year for how he was able to take this, what looked like an untenable situation of Towns and Gobert, and had no chance to work on it last year when Cat missed 57 games, 51 in a row.
Yep.
And came up. They came. Now Rudy's healthier and moving up and down the court a lot better. But they came up with a way to make him not only productive, not only valuable, but really valuable. You know, and change the whole defensive structure of the team and trying to convince an NBA team to play defense. Now, one thing they do is they probably got 2 of the 5 best defenders in the league, what, Rudy and McDaniels, right?
Yep.
So, and McDaniels was interested. He was really good Sunday. Saturday.
I think he likes it because it's the challenge. And Finch coached a marvelous game because we all thought McDaniels would be on Durant.
Yep.
And Finch said, screw it, let Durant get his points. I'm putting McDaniels on Booker.
Yes. Alexander Walker.
Yeah, and Nah was fantastic too. It was we spent an entire week fretting.
Yes.
You know, they lost 3 times to the Suns. What are they gonna do? What are they gonna do? And you said, well, they're gonna do something.
Yeah, they're gonna adjust.
And they did.
Yeah. And now it helped that they contested them to the point that Booker was 5-for-16. You're not gonna see that again.
Right.
So this Vogel's a good coach, and they're going to come up with something.
I'm with you. They're going to complain.
They complain. They're on the phone.
Yep. I think you nailed it.
The guy who just paid $3.5 billion for the franchiser who tried to buy this team too.
Yep.
And he's going to say, I just gave you $4 billion, and you can't call a foul. Come on. Yeah. Oh, they're going to complain. There's no doubt about it. If Scott Foster shows up Tuesday. They're in trouble. Our boys are in trouble.
I wonder if we could find that out because we can.
They don't tell you.
Find that out in football. You know who's going to referee? Mm-hmm. What crew's coming in? That's a really good question. Who's going to referee this game 2 of this series?
Mm-hmm. Now Ant had 3 fouls in the first half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he was good in the third quarter. Holy,
19
cripes.
Points took it over.
Yeah. When he's making his shots, man, he's something, and he's a pretty good defender when he's not like doing dumb things, you know.
Yeah.
He's you know, the thing about him is, for superstar in the league, and they're all calling him that now, he's involved 90% of the time, which is a higher percentage than most of them,
mm-hmm.
to say the least. It's not like, you know, like I'm waiting for the Clippers game last night, and they say Kawhi Leonard's not playing today, and they win anyway. But I said, well, that's a shock. What do you have, a sore bunion? Or
didn't enjoy his breakfast.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
deal breaker.
There's all those guys that are just, it really sort of shocked me that they just kicked the hell out of Dallas without him. But anyway, it'll be fun, man. Wouldn't it be fun if this lasted a while also?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the other thing is these first-round series, too, you get a chance to rest and everybody. Cause, I mean, they're stupid.
Right, but
well,
if you're the Timberwolves,
it's good.
I love it because you get guys to play defense, lights out, and then can rest for 2 days.
Is game three Friday?
Yes.
And in Phoenix, two late games, what, Friday, Sunday?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Friday, Sunday.
I
remember when the NBA first started these spread out first rounds, and they said, well, we're going to take a severe look at this. And their severe look is we're going to keep doing what we want to do to put these games on TV. But they have much better first round matchups than they generally do this year, because the East was equally mediocre in most cases, and except for Boston, and the West was good, solid. So,
but there was a long amount of time where it felt like predicting the first round was as easy as it got.
Oh God, yes, that's the big difference between them and the NHL. I always said the NHL, all right, here we go. Tampa Bay Lightning, one of the greatest teams in history, playing torts Columbus Blue Jackets. They blow a 3-0 lead and they get swept.
Yep.
You know, that would be like, what would that be like? That'd be like Michael Jordan's team getting beat in the first round by Indiana or something.
For a long time, the only upset that I could remember in the NBA was, I don't know when, the Supersonics had this great team and Denver beat them.
Oh, yeah.
It was like an 8-1, and nobody, I think it was the second time in league history that it happened.
Yeah,
nobody could believe
it. It doesn't happen hardly at all in hockey. Oh, how about this, though? So two of the hockey games haven't been played yet, right?
Correct.
Two of the first rounders.
Yep, there's two tonight.
Home teams in the NBA and the NHL, 14-0.
Yep.
The NHL, they all won.
Which is not the norm.
I didn't realize Colorado had to go to Winnipeg.
Yeah. They finished behind them.
Yeah, so what, are they 4-5? No. 3-6?
No, 2-3.
It's
because one plays 8, and then the other division winner the Pacific plays 7.
But this year,
and 2-3, 2-3.
This year, every division got 4 teams in. I saw every division got four teams in. So it was like 4-1 and 2-3 in every division. Yeah, no. The wild cards all came out. Were all the fourth place team in each division.
I found it, Patrick. NBA.com. Referee assignments posted at approximately 9 a.m. Eastern each game day. Your guy, Scott Foster, tonight has Lakers at Denver.
A little bit
tricky.
You got time to fly in screw up another one. I heard, you know who's great talking about the NBA and is the next Barkley? Kendrick Perkins is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
He is, because he's a street guy, but he loves the game. He just absolutely loves
the game. He also doesn't
care
what you think.
He doesn't care what you think. And unlike Charles, he know who he play for.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a basketball junkie.
He loves it. He loves this team, by the way.
And he's liked them all season long.
Yeah. He went on it, and, you know, he's been...
Loves it.
I heard him... They were trying to talk him into, I know, a week before the playoffs started, and there was a possibility of the Lakers and the Wolves. They were trying to talk him into picking the Lakers to beat the Wolves, and he said, I can't do that.
You know?
So, yeah, he's loving him. He loves Ant, and I think he loves Rudy, too. Hell, he played against Rudy, didn't he?
I'm sure he did.
How long has he been out of the league? 3-4 years?
I don't know.
I don't know, but somebody... Somebody at ESPN, is ESPN or NBA? Yeah, ESPN, right?
Yep.
Somebody at ESPN found him, and it was a great find. Somebody from some...
Now they have to keep him.
Wherever he played much of his career, somebody must have been working for ESPN out there and said, give this guy an audition. He's fantastic. I had no idea he's extremely thoughtful. Even though he's not the most articulate guy in the world, but that's what makes him fun.
Yeah.
He's really great.
8 seasons in Boston, 5 in OKC.
Oh, he was in Boston that long.
And then 1 with the Pelicans and 2 with the Cavs.
So he played 16 years? God almighty.
Yep, and it looks like he went from Cleveland to New Orleans back to Cleveland for a game. So
How long has he been out?
2017-18 was his last season at the age of 33.
He's terrific.
6 years.
You know what? I think we were talking about this the other day. What the Barkley, Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson show did for the NBA was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. It made it fun. It made it, you know, irreverent and everything. And this guy kind of continues that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I got in trouble with the Wolves Nation and Jim Pete because Jim Pete sent out a thing. The reason this team is team unity. You know, he's talking about team unity, and I sent back a guy yawning because I hate that stuff. You know, the reason they're good is they have talent, and they, they have a plan, and they made their shots. You know, you got to make shots.
Did Jim Pete respond?
Yeah, he said he was like, "What? Why? Yeah, I love Jim Pete, but." But everybody else was like, let us have some fun. Have all the fun you want. I just, you know, this idea that, they're all together. They're connected. So, you know, it's the playoffs. I've never seen them in the playoffs where they didn't try, right. You know. They just were outclassed.
It helps to have a good coach, too.
Oh, God, yes. He's a...
Cat's game on Saturday... was orchestrated by coaching.
Yes.
Minutes, yes. Roll.
Yes, right.
Go everything
that
was.
Guy.
Yeah.
I don't have to shame you by starting Alexander Walker. I don't have to shame you. So you're going to look important.
Yeah.
But we're going to, you know, we're not going to rely on you. And we all thought he would guard Durant. So, you know, he's. Anyway, it really is true. You know, hockey, we can talk about adjustments, but, you know, up and down and if the other team's better.
Well, like goaltending.
When the NBA series is close like this one, it really, how you go about playing really becomes important. And I've said this on Twitter too. I watched the second half of that Denver game, or quite a bit of it. We've never had a team play basketball like this. They do. We've never, you know, Kareem, any of those guys. You got a big oaf who dribbles the ball up the court half the time.
Flabby
he
arms.
He comes in, you can't steal the ball from him. And then he holds the ball up with one hand. And he makes a pass. When he drives, I said he looks like a crippled sports writer getting, you know, he's moving about 1 mile an hour.
Yep.
And yet they all know how to cut and move. And they got a system of, you know, okay, I'm going to go to the basket now and he's going to throw it. And then when he's in really trouble in his lane, he shoots a 6-footer flat footed and makes them all. Nobody can.
Yep, which the ball goes whoop.
He must have these guys' minds so screwed up that they think he's going to pass for some layup.
Yes.
That all of a sudden he just got to go whoop.
Because I think it's the passing that makes him so special.
Oh, God.
Because he's such a good passer that you can't assume he won't pass.
And. Underrated? No, I don't think he's underrated. But you got to watch him daily to see his bitching. He complains about any time the play doesn't work out for him.
Yep.
He complains, and he doesn't have that reputation. Like I guess he does have that reputation, but you know,
Luca's the worst because he's so petulant.
Oh yeah, Luca's. But it is too that you know you're all your top five. All NBA team. You got two fat guys.
Well, that's the Euros have shown us.
Yes, right.
The Euros have shown us.
We don't.
The gym, you don't need to be in the gym.
No, you don't. No.
I mean, you have Luca.
Luca tried getting in condition last year.
It didn't really work.
And he said to hell with it.
Well, and I also think he doesn't care what he eats.
No.
And so it's just inevitable. I mean, and can you imagine the reunions of like the NBA greats in 30 years when these guys come back and they both weigh about 450.
Well, the All-Star game is going to have to become Europe versus the U.S. here. Pretty like the Ryder Cup, isn't it? Pretty much. Pretty soon. The NBA All-Star game. Maybe you can get a little interest in it. If you got
That's not a bad idea.
Got the Euros or the, you know, the Ryder Cup, you can throw the Canadians in for the with the Europes because something like that. But mm-hmm. that would be a way to make it more interesting than 300 to 250.
That's true.
When are they going to score 300 in an NBA All-Star game?
Probably next season.
Pretty soon. And anyway, it's a lot of fun. And I don't know, Tuesday night, the Twins are home with the Whiteys, and if they were smart, they'd just show the Wolves game on the scoreboard the whole game, right?
Can the parking ramp just quit charging $20 per game for the Twins?
Yeah,
Wolves, I got no problem with it right now.
They bumped it four. It was 16 last year.
I know.
It was 12, 14, and then it was 16 for about 3 years, right? And now it's just 20. We're just going to charge you 20.
You know, poor dad takes two kids, wife.
Yeah, and you know how much the Twins get of that? Zero, the Wolves. That's what's the problem with both those franchises being there, and thank God they are, right downtown, is they get no parking.
That's why I told you. If I'm the Wolves, that's why I'm trying to get a plot of land.
That's why Ziggy wanted to go to Arden Hills. He wanted to have a parking lot like Foxborough.
And all the stores they can have around there.
Yeah.
Because you can develop that whole area.
I have a dreadful fear that if Taylor does sell his team to these guys, that they're going to build a new, they're going to get together and build a new arena out by Egan. Out by the Vikings.
I've been suggesting that.
It would be huge, but what would it do to downtown? My God, if you didn't have that.
But the problem is downtown's going to help. That's the thing, is downtown going to help them?
Yeah, well.
They're probably going to tell them to get lost.
With this city council, no.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You know, we got to worry about, our city council is trying to stop the war in Gaza, which they might not have proper influence for that, but they're insane. So I went crazy today on Twitter about when I saw the story about the state legislature is going to take up cell phones in high school and schools. Let the school districts take up high schools. What do we care?
They're going to do what?
They're looking into what they can do about cell phones being used in schools.
What do they care?
Yeah, I don't know. There's other things to worry about.
At some point in time, I think if you're like the Bulls and they're not going to help you with a building, you say, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to move the team. But
yeah, you can.
To your point.
You go out to Dakota County and they can, somewhere in Dakota County and they'll put a ½% tax on or something.
And I think you nailed it. Egan. You're right by the airport. Players will love it.
Go by the Vikings. Is that Dakota County or Scott? That's Dakota, right?
Egan?
Egan is.
I don't know. Hold on a second. That's a good question.
I think it's south of.
But I still think there's land. I think there's a lot of land.
Oh, God, yes. There's a lot of land.
And the Wolves probably own quite a bit of it.
Yep. And the Wolves will probably help you, dip
into. Dakota. You're right.
Yeah, dip into their $300 million a year.
But it's actually, if you think about it, for teams, it's perfect.
Oh, God, yes.
Because you fly in, take a bus to the game, mm-hmm. get right back out. You don't have to go,
Yeah, I mean, I'm very concerned that Twins are going to be sitting down there all by themselves, surrounded by, what do you do if they move? You just blow the building up? You can't operate it.
Yeah.
You already got.
I mean, there's nothing to do with the building.
No.
At that point.
No. There's got to be a way. I don't know. Maybe there doesn't have to be a way. Because there's got to be a way to build a new arena that gets the Gophers over to it, too, for at least most, maybe not their non-conference schedule. But you got to get out of Williams Arena. But you also, here's the trouble. You want 8,000 seats for your new Gopher Arena, right?
The old boutique.
Yeah, but if they build another boutique, they build another arena in place, where are they going to get the money?
Well, here's my question about downtown, too, is what are we doing with it? It's so residential now.
Yeah.
So, like, if Target Center gets blown up, are they just going to try more condos?
I'm sure they will, but those people, they'll go to a bar and a restaurant, but they won't go to a grocery. I mean, they don't shop. That Dayton's building is, that was a...
I know.
That was a... $40 million waste of money or whatever it was. They can't. They don't have anything in there. Nobody goes shopping because the people downtown are young and they love Uber and they love Amazon.
Which, by the way, I believe we're still about to chase out of town, right?
Is that? I thought we didn't. The
oh,
console,
have we solved that one?
No, we haven't solved it, but I think they pushed it back for a couple of months.
Well, that's your council.
There's your council, yeah. Let's do that. Let's... you know, they got 20 Somalians to show up and say, yeah, this is great. And all the guys that are making a little, you know, working at it say, yeah, except they're leaving.
Right.
So anyway. And then, so we got those two issues. So I wanted to bring this up. I was flipping channels yesterday, and I got to the soccer game, and I was like, 30 minutes in, 0-0. And all of a sudden, this guy, I think it's the same guy who scored in extra time, a bench warmer, young guy who scored in extra time when I went to the opener that gave them a tie, a draw.
Draw, please.
He got a hell of a goal. Great goal. You know what I did? Immediately changed channels because I knew I wouldn't see another one. I mean, I already saw a goal. I mean,
what channel was this on?
FS1. It wasn't on Apple.
Okay,
because
I'm
one of the few not on Apple.
I totally lost track of that league completely because I don't get the Apple.
But this guy had a hell of a goal, and I saw it. And my viewing time for the soccer game was 90 seconds, and I saw a goal. It was fantastic.
Well, that's your season.
I was lucky, and this guy is good. That's an interesting thing. Is this their superstar Reynosa though? Must be one of the screwiest.
He's not there, right?
He left. He just went though. He went home, and he's
well,
not.
Well, I finally got
back.
Him to come in last year.
Yeah, finally.
I thought it was solved.
Yeah. Well, the new guy, the guy from England, said basically ripped him. You know, he's the first guy to challenge him. You know?
Not since Todd Bergen have we had an athlete who doesn't want to play in our state.
No, he's dedicated to not playing. It's
if you see Reynoso playing golf at Interlochen, you'll know.
That is true for sure. Speaking of golf, Scottie Scheffler wins this morning. He's now won 4 out of 5 with a second place, I think, in the other ones. He wins at Harbortown. That poor wife of his, you know, she's prego as hell, and he was going to leave the Masters, and now he comes and plays this. The way he's playing, she might have to hold on to that kid for about 2 more months, right? The way he's,
you know what?
He's rolling.
Camera phones are great.
Yeah, right.
Here's the kid.
Yeah, you can zoom.
Healthy kid.
You can zoom into the delivery room, pretend like you're holding hands. You know, but God almighty, it's amazing. He only won by 3 today because he bogeyed 18.
So this has to be killing the, especially, I should say, the Masters, the LIV, right? Because the LIV guys
I looked up the LIV
schedule. And CBS barely mentioned him on purpose.
Yeah. And I looked up the LIV and to see their schedule, and they play, I think they play in Adelaide, Australia. Then they don't play for like a month, or they get to June and they don't play for a month. It's ridiculous. They got now the U.S. Open's in there. And
sure, but I mean, if they come into the Masters and they take 3 of the top 4 spots.
Oh, God, yeah, then you got it. But you still turn it on. You don't care. You know,
I know.
Because there's no jacket like they give away at Hilton Head. They've been playing there for 1,000 years and stuff.
Well,
like
and if
that.
You don't.
But having this guy takes all the attention away from LIV.
Right.
No.
And they don't play 72 holes.
No.
So you don't take it seriously because of that.
No, that's part of it. And they proudly proclaim that they only play in 54 holes. That's where the title comes from. The Roman numeral.
Yep.
Yeah. That's where the title comes from, 54. And the other thing is they have these 4-man teams with goofy names, and they're trying to sell that apparently for betting.
Oh, okay.
Hey, how about the week for that poor Michael Porter, Denver?
Oh.
One of his brothers goes to prison for 6 years for what? Some kind of homicide, right?
Oh, I didn't see that part. I knew the other brother got tossed.
And the other brother, he must be one of the dumbest people that ever lived. But by the way, you're opening up. I heard some guys talking about this yesterday, sports betting. It's not team betting. The problem is all the prop bets, all the
correct,
all these, everything, every time you watch a sports event now, it's the pick a player type, the, you know, that
yep.
You pick a, you can bet, the fact that you can bet on anybody to do anything
yes.
makes it an individual thing. It's so you only have to get the one guy.
Right.
But this dummy bet himself on the under, but then he said he was hurt after 3 minutes, which you got to play a certain number of minutes to make the bet legitimate. So he, you know, whoever was in cahoots with him to make the bets must not have explained to the idiot, you got to play 12 minutes for the bet to count.
I love
count.
How he pulled himself out.
Yeah, yeah. And said he was, you know, I mean, Michael Porter's a good player for the Denver team, but my God, what a week.
It's individual point shaving.
Yeah.
Or shaving of
yeah,
some sort.
Yeah, because you've created that, you know, you've now created that possibility.
I'm not going to make more
and
than...
No sport is that more accessible for cheating than basketball.
Right.
You know, because you bet on 7 or 8 guys. There's over and unders.
Is that
available
in college?
Play.
Huh? Can you do that in college games? Because if you can, that's where you have a real
God,
problem.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad if, you know, they have no, but there's no conscience now on those things. I mean, they'll give you a bet on anything.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Right.
But it's this guy is, he gives moron a bad name, this guy. If the reason he left was he wanted to win the bet, because he'd bet on himself that game too, right?
Yeah.
Then he also had bet against his team, right? A couple of times.
I don't even know.
Yeah. What a beauty.
But you're right. It was individual things that.
Yeah.
And then his attempt to manipulate it.
And it's what baseball dreams of, having 25,000 people in the stadium on their home, on their cell phone, betting if the next pitch is going to be a strike or a ball. Well, you know. That's the thing. If just betting games, you gotta work to fix them.
Right.
But for one guy, you don't have to work. All you got to do is get the one moron.
Right.
And there's plenty of them in the NBA. God love them. I don't know. It wouldn't seem to be much of a problem on hockey, though. I mean, how can you, you know?
It depends on what the
over
categories
and under
are.
On over
hits?
And under on McDavid is
shots
is,
on goal.
Is,
I don't know.
1.5 points or something. I don't think you can. Hockey doesn't have that problem. Football too is. I suppose you can bet on how many catches and our yards or.
Oh,
something.
You're inviting problems.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, across the board. Hey, speaking of problems, let's talk about a good thing.
Oh yes,
your favorite place. Your favorite
Guess
place
what
to purchase
I did.
An automobile.
Jim Paul's Valley Group of GM dealers. I trusted Reavers with this copy, and of course he lost it someplace.
Oh,
so,
boy, that was
Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group at GM Dealers is located in Apple Valley, where I purchased my last 6 cars. Relatives have purchased cars. Even Reavers purchased a car there. And here's the deal. Here's what Jim says. The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, the supply chain and chip issues all caused extreme inventory shortages that led to predatory pricing. Some dealers charged thousands of dollars over the manufactured suggested retail price. Jim Paul and Brett Paul never did that at Valley Buick GMC. And now they have their best inventory in years. All the Buick and GMC models, even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, heavy-duty pickups, and Hummer EVs, plenty of deep discounts with many factory rebates and low interesting finance. It's a great time to buy once again. It's taken a while, but everything is back in order at Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings. Or go to valleycardealers.com. You can check out the inventory. Jim Paul says this is car buying without the bad aftertaste.
Awesome. Hey, before we get done, Thursday night, we'll be at the Fillmore for our big party.
Yes.
What's your prediction? Vikings draft.
J- J.J. McCarthy with the eighth pick or so. Okay. Like that.
So they traded the Falcons, you think?
I don't think they can get the third.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Yeah.
I don't think they can at all. People keep telling me the Patriots, why would they not take a quarterback if Drake May is the one they like, you know?
Well, it depends how much they can get, though. If they get enough, they got so many.
Yeah, maybe then they just go.
But I don't disagree
with you.
Then they play
Jacoby Brissett and lose. Did he go? Is that who they ended
up? Yeah, I think you're right.
And they want to go, unless they want to go 3-14 again, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't think you've been so pained to write a column since your apology for tiptoe ball throwing is you're on Sunday, where you spent the majority of the column explaining why you were going to write a complimentary column.
Yes, right. It did. Because I couldn't just jump in and say that.
Clearly.
Plus, I don't know if I've ever used my conversation with Mike Lynn in print.
You've talked about it. It's hilarious.
I've talked about it a few times, but people say, how could Lynn be your favorite Vikings GM? Because he gave you great quotes and he was goofy. And as I said, he was such a character that, A, he called me the morning of the turkey of the year that he won and said it was about time.
Yep.
The first guy ever. And, B, he set me up. He got revenge by calling me up and telling me about this young lineman that they'd signed. I've told you that story. Young lineman that they'd signed, and everybody was really excited about him. He was from, South Dakota State or something back when you didn't get them. And he says, hey, we can get you lined up with him. Turned out he was marrying Lynn's daughter's best friend. That was his birthday present to Lynn's daughter.
Oh.
Lynn's daughter's best friend was getting a column out of me, suckered me in 100%.
Brilliant.
Then I called him up and he just cackled. So it was revenge.
Yep.
So that's why I love Mike Lynn. So anyway.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I do think that I like both the big moves, getting rid of Hunter and getting rid of the quarterback. Obviously, I mean that's enough of Kirk. Enough. What are you going to do? Give him $45 million, and then what are you going to do?
And now, what I love is on Twitter, you're seeing all of these Vikings fans very upset that Kirk is embracing Atlanta. He's at a game wearing a Braves jersey.
Oh, God.
loves Atlanta.
You believed him when he was sitting up there with a shirt on. Meanwhile, and you believed him when he was house hunting in Atlanta. It was just kind of a family move. Viking fans, and let's face it, the morning guy from 9 to 12 and K-Fan has a lot to do with it. They're the most gullible saps in town. So
We desperately want you to really, really want to stay here.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins was never going to do that.
Yeah, this is the Kirk Cousins that if they had fans in the stands in the COVID year, when they opened against Green Bay, you would have thrown rotten eggs at him when he ran up the thing, and all of a sudden he became popular because he didn't wear a mask. So I don't get it.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Yes.